Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith, and co-host, Eric Howdige. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and APCO Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Director with EasyCare, alongside my partner in crime, the one, the only, Eric.
How are you doing, Corey?
I'm great. This is going to be a little different of a podcast because, well, we're in Delaware.
We're in Delaware.
On the road, doing some service advisor training, and we don't have a guest. So it's just going to be Eric and I talking. The concept of what we're talking about today is the journey of a service advisor to service manager. And you did this just recently, Eric, before you came in on with EasyCare. Give us, you know, some background.
So we go into stores all over the country, and how many times do we see the young service manager who is starting in their role, and there is an imagination of what they want to see? They have a vision. What ends up happening is it changes that vision when you go and you sit in that seat for the very first time. And the technicians start approaching you, the advisors start approaching you, the customers, and all the ownership metrics start coming through. It's a lot to take on. There's a lot of stress. And many service managers have troubles going through their first year trying to learn everything.
Yeah, and I think the other part of it too is that the dealership, especially the leadership team, they are promoting a service advisor to service manager because they're a great service advisor. And sometimes they don't make great managers, but if we get them the training and the help they need, you can certainly get there. Why is this transition so challenging, Eric? To go from being me, advisor, to now I'm talking to a collective as we.
The system that I see that creates a lot of speed bumps is when that person is being promoted and placed into their new role, the person, the leader who's actually moving that person, doesn't understand whether they have a management system or a leadership requirement position. And many times they place a person who's a great manager into a leadership role, or they place a leader where there should be a manager. And the service manager, who the new service manager, the service advisor is being placed there, doesn't understand that there is an actual difference between manager and leader. They begin to change rules and change things, and they don't know how to have people buy into that system. And they're trying to make change. They're held responsible for growth, right? They're held responsible or accountable for that. Mm-hmm. But they don't know how to have people. They haven't learned yet. That's probably a better way of saying it. They haven't learned how to have people buy into the new system.
Well, the mind shift, you know, from me to we, advisors focus on personal performance, ROs, hours, CSI. Managers have to focus on the entire team. Right? So coaching, consistency, processes, leadership versus friendship, right?
It's a huge, huge topic.
Dive into that a little bit.
So as a service advisor, great service advisors have an amazing relationship with their technicians, with their dispatcher, with their bookers, many times becoming very close friends outside of work. You go and you visit them at their home. You go, next thing you know, you're hanging out with them at their kids' birthday parties. And now all of a sudden, peers are no longer peers. Now the peers have to call you boss, right? Now the peers have to look at you and say, hey, I have a problem and I need you to fix it. And being able to change that and create the boundaries between leadership and peer is something that most young leaders or managers have a huge problem with. And I struggled with that.
I love how you said that. So again, for those listening, here's a replay of it. You may have been peers with your team yesterday. Now you must lead them, setting boundaries, clear boundaries with them, and still earn respect. That's hard, right? Making decisions and almost treating it like you own the business, right? Managers make daily calls affecting customers, staff, profitability. Learning to make confident decisions is crucial. So what kind of tips can we give them?
The first tip that I want to give people is the patience in earning trust. And you have trust from all your peers in the peer system. You have that trust, but you haven't earned the trust yet of a leader or a manager. And you have to pick which one you're going to earn the trust in first. And that takes, sometimes it takes months, sometimes it can take a year, but being patient with earning everybody's respect as you go along is one of the biggest struggles that people have, because you don't get that automatically.
Yeah. I think I'd go back to that, thinking like the owner, right? Ask, how does this decision affect profitability, retention, and morals, right? Practice transparency and be consistent with that transparency. Your team is watching everything you do,
every move. And it's funny that you mentioned practice, because too many times as a young leader, you come home and there's frustrations, a new level of frustrations. And it overwhelms you. And the only thing you want once you get into your car and you're driving home is you're looking for that escape. You're looking for that moment to get away. And what you actually need to be doing is you need to be practicing the skill set, studying personalities. You need to be studying human behavior. You need to get deep into how people operate and then bring that back to your new world. And slowly but surely, you're going to begin to understand people at a totally different level, because now you're not just satisfying people from a customer standpoint. You're having to satisfy people in helping them perform.
Right. Let's talk about performance for a little bit. So you're a new service manager, right? Talk about those metrics, you know, measuring them and really, truly understanding them.
So understanding metrics is a level of math that can be very simple, and we make it more difficult than what it is. You need to learn inventories from all angles of your business. What's your capacity and what's your inventory? How much of it are you consuming, or do you not have enough? And you need to learn how those capacities and inventories go together. There's something that I call shop balance. And we may have not enough or too many advisors, so that inventory of hours that they're able to produce may not be enough or too many for the inventory and hours that we have inside of the shop. And those two worlds, if we don't have a good balance, if those two worlds collide, there is major frustration there, and that usually reflects on your customer CSI. It reflects on your customer satisfaction, on their customer experience. But more importantly, it starts to affect the performance in the store, because techs become frustrated because their MPIs aren't getting sold, or you have advisors that they're waiting forever for a vehicle to get in. So being able to understand your shop balance and how those metrics work with each other is one of the first things that I would teach service advisors becoming service managers.
Yeah, I think, you know, the fixed ops department is all about numbers. Math is a huge part of understanding, especially in this new role as being a manager, understanding how do I calculate effective labor rate, hours per repair order, understanding the shop efficiency and utilization, first time customer, fixed right to first visit, CSI, retention. Those data driven decisions, you can't just look at the numbers. You need to teach your team how you got to that number, right? What they mean and how they can move them, right? Because if they can affect change in that service drive, right, and take care of the customer, we found out through that Harvard Business School that something as small as 5% in retention can lead to 25 to 95% in profit. In profit.
Now, you said a very important word, and it's data. how many times are service advisors not exposed to great data and understanding the power of it?
Right.
And as you become to fill that role, there's this big word that gets tossed around a lot. It's called forecast. And they go off of a percentage of growth, which is not the way to grow your service department, or they just go off of a gut feeling, right? This is what I think. This is what I've seen.
So teach us how to forecast properly.
When you're forecasting, you have to look at two different worlds. You have to look at the capacity that you have with employees.
All right.
That's the first level. Learning. So
give me some just round numbers on how I can understand this.
Let's make this simple math.
Okay. I like it.
You have 10 technicians.
Yep.
10 hours a day per technician.
Okay.
All right. So you have 10 technicians at 10 hours a day. That's going to give you 100 hours. That's going to be your inventory. You have 100 hours.
Okay.
Now, I told you there's a second side to this. But what happens if you have 10 technicians, but you have 15 available service bays or service racks? Now, what's your inventory? Are you going to base it off of your employees, or are you going to base it off of the amount of real estate that you have?
Oh, that's a good question. I would still stick with the 10 technicians.
And many people do. Actually, most people look at the amount of technicians that they have, but then you're missing out on 5 bays, which are sitting there for 10 hours a day apiece. So you're missing out on 50 hours.
Yeah.
Per day, not per month, per day.
So I got to get more techs.
Well, that's where the shop balance comes in play. Do you have enough service advisors and enough customer business coming through the door? As a service manager and a leader, the number one responsibility is to make sure you have enough business coming in. That's going to be your number one responsibility, creating business coming in. Mm-hmm. Then you need to make sure that you have enough people to take care of your business, both in service advisors and technicians. Now, forecasting is a little bit different because it's not as easy and simple as saying 10 technicians, they all should be doing 10 hours a day. I think that's unfair to technicians altogether, because each technician has a different level of talent, has a different level of skill set. Therefore, their objective can change based on what type of work and what type of talent they have. Just because they can produce 8.2 hours a day doesn't make them any less valuable to the business. What we need to do is understand how, as leaders, can you help their talents increase that 8.2 to 8.8 to 9 hours, eventually getting to 10, if that's what your objective calls for. So you need to understand your inventory based on the talent that you have in your technicians. You just can't say 10 hours and that's it. It doesn't work that way.
Okay.
But you do need to also understand the real estate that you have and its capacity.
Okay. So now I got that part of the equation in my forecasting. How do I come up with that number to know, based on what I did last year or the department did last year, what am I going to do this time next year?
So the next number that you need to look at after you understand your inventories, you need to understand your effective labor rate.
Okay.
And when you're looking at effective labor rate, you need to see what type of work mix do you have. You need to look at your data over the past 2, 3, 4 years. What has been your door rate? What has been your effective labor rate? It's something that we use PDR, percentage of door rate. What has been your percentage of door rate? Now, two ways to look at it. Number one, data is data. Over the past 3 years, our store has ran at I'm just going to use a wild number here, Ed, a 74%, okay, of our door rate.
Okay.
So you can understand that no matter what you do with your door rate, 74% is going to be 74%.
Yeah.
Okay. But it doesn't mean that that's what it has to be. How can I increase that 74%, maybe to 78, maybe to 82% of the door rate, to give me an increase without just saying I'm going to do it?
So how do you calculate that? How do you quantify that?
So let's go back to that 74%. You're going to grab your door rate times 74%, whatever that number is. That's going to give you, now in this particular number, you have to include not only customer pay, you're including your warranty, your internals. It's something that we called combined, all combined labors. And then you're going to multiply that times your inventory. And that's going to give you a close math. Now, you have to make sure that you're including vacations, days off, all those times that technicians are at training. All those numbers have to come off, because when you add up all those hours where technicians are missing, that's big math.
Yeah, that's big stuff. Okay. So I think some tips that I would take away from just that part of it is once you have the forecasting right, then you want to have one-to-ones with your team to educate them. Here's where we're at, where we're at. Here's where we're going.
Yes.
Right. With your advisors using a dashboard or a sample report or something and walk them through it. And once you've learned it, then you need to make sure your team knows it. They may know it already.
They might.
And I wouldn't ask them because they're just going to give you lip service. I would take the time to do a one-on-one, make sure we're all on the same playing field, and then we celebrate wins. We coach through data, not emotion.
Now, Corey, we've talked about data. We talked about metrics. You have all these numbers set up, right? You have everything set up. But then you get the famous, and if you've been in leadership or management one day, everybody knows this knock. You got a second? Corey, I'm coming in. I'm upset. You've got everything going. I'm angry about some process, or I'm upset that they've given away my last 4 or 5 recommendations. What do you do to handle that, Corey?
That's a great question. I think it really comes down with, you know, in that situation, right? I understand you're upset, right? What would be a resolution that you would seem fair, right?
I love that.
And then you get them talking.
Okay.
And then you come up with a plan. Because if I just sit there and spout off the way it's going to be done, you're going to feel like you're not heard. The employees, especially the newer employees, need to feel like they're part of something and they need to feel like they're heard.
I love the fact that you're getting the other person to talk, because when an employee is upset, what they really want to do is come in, yell, and shut down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're unlocking that shutdown. You're not allowing that to happen. Now as a manager, you're there. You're at a tipping point where you're saying, okay, I'm able to turn this around, right? I have this employee who's able to turn around. So do you go and rewrite the entire process? Do you change everything?
So realistically, I've been in this position before where building a team and leading that team have to go hand in hand. Coaching daily, right? Don't just manage, because if you just manage, you're missing out on a huge opportunity. Observe the drive, make sure it's active, make sure they're role playing with the advisors, give immediate feedback. We do it in our class all the time.
Yes.
I'm going to jump on it and say, listen, you did a great job. I love the fact that you did this in front of the whole class, but here's some things that I would change to tighten that up a little bit so you sound more professional. Empower your team. Teach advisors to think like managers.
Yes.
If I can teach you to be me, to replace me, am I going to have a better advisor at that point?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Give them small things to do in a leadership role. Hey, I want you to be my service lane manager. You be my eyes and ears and keep me up to date on what's going on. If we have a hot customer or if someone's not happy, make them part of that. I think that's genius. The culture is your responsibility.
Absolutely.
If you don't build the culture, then you're just going and forming a function, not a purpose.
And I'm going to continue to push on this, but you, the service manager, how do you react as a young service manager when you have, I'm not going to say done something that's wrong, but that a majority of your team doesn't see as positive?
Yeah, that's deep. I mean, we saw that with the football game with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
He lost his cool because the guy fumbled with an inch.
We can't talk about that right now.
I know.
I'm still in pain.
It's okay.
I'm trying to cheer for a new team and we dropped the ball.
Literally dropped the ball. You have to separate the emotion, and everything's emotion. I don't care if you work at McDonald's. I don't care if you are a football coach. I don't care if you're a service manager. There's emotion that goes involved.
Yes.
We take things personal because we have pride in it. But in that situation, you've got to pull yourself out of it and just say, listen, I understand you made a mistake. I've made plenty of them in my lifetime. Here's how we're going to solve that going forward. And it's not going to be a browbeating, you know, punishment. I'm going to beat you until you submit to what I'm talking about. I'm going to understand why you did it.
Okay.
And then I'm going to advise you and teach you how to overcome that, so it doesn't happen again.
One of the advice that I'm going to give management is you're going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're pushing your limits and you're growing at a new level, you're going to make errors. It's going to happen. How you handle those mistakes with your team members is going to determine whether that mistake turns into something that removes you as a leader or grows you as a leader. And being able to pull your team together and honestly, genuinely telling them, raise your hand and say, I made this mistake. Hey, this process I installed, completely wrong. And being able to
admit that,
admit it in front of your team has more power sometimes than actually being right. And too many times they look to defend their position, their what they consider to be power, which I don't believe in that word too much, but it gets ahead of them. And at that point, you're losing more trust than anything you think you're earning. To earn that respect back from your team, it's hard to overcome.
You know, you know, you've been around somebody long enough that when you can finish your sentences.
Right. Yeah.
So some tips that I would give you being a new manager and new in this role is having huddles, having morning huddles to align the team, focus on goals, whether it's CSI, dollars per repair order, how many hours are we selling, and end with a motivating message. That's going to inspire them. Like I love quotes. Anybody who knows me personally knows that I'm all about quotes. I love being inspirational. I love following people that inspire me to be the better version of me. And I'll tell you, you want to be 1% better than you were yesterday. That's been my mantra for the last 10, 15 years. And when you look at it that way, you're not trying, oh, I got to do this and I got to do this and I got to be 50% better. No, just 1%, 1%, right? Recognizing great behavior publicly and correcting in private.
Yes, I totally agree with that.
I have always lived by that. Even as a father, I do not come down on my kids in public. I pull them aside. I wait until we get home. It's the same thing at work. If you treat work like you do at home, you will have a family at work, a cohesive team that wants to work together and wants the best for each other, just like you have at home.
A couple tips that I'm going to give. Number one is if you want your team to perform in a particular way, then you have to practice with them.
Mm-hmm.
Setting aside time on a weekly basis, a minimum, a monthly basis, which I'm not a fan of, but at minimum monthly, I recommend doing weekly, is key to your success. Making sure that your team understands how to run the play, practicing with them 20 minutes to a half an hour weekly so that everybody knows what to do. This goes for technicians. This goes for porters. This goes for service advisors. Everybody who's involved in any of your operations need to know how to do that. The second thing that I'm gonna talk about is understanding that your team needs to know what is the definition of winning or not winning, not losing, winning or not winning. Make sure that the team knows their objectives going into work every single day. And you can give that objective however you want. I'll give you just a quick example. You're an advisor. Hey, winning today means we're gonna close out 30 hours an advisor. That's the W. Technicians, your W is going to be your objective, whatever their objective is going to be. But having a team learn what a win or not winning is on a daily basis gives them a sense of satisfaction, gives them a sense of going in, a purpose to go in and being able to, as we've heard them plenty of times in the videos, but it's dominating your craft.
Yes, 100%. I think the other thing that we'll touch upon that is huge because it's part of my background is communication. And I'm not saying communication just with your service advisors. I'm talking your communication and collaboration with parts, sales, accounting, all of those get broken out in silos.
Yes.
Accounting gets mad because we don't get the paperwork right. Sales gets mad because we don't get the car back out on the front
line. In and out, right.
Right. With upper management, learn to speak numbers. They love numbers. Okay. So if you're a new manager, love numbers, right? Present facts, not feelings. I think we're doing a good job. No, we are doing a good job. Here's the data to back that up. With customers, even as a manager, don't lose that customer facing empathy. Earn loyalty at every point with that customer. So some tips that I'd give you, when conflict arises, listen first, clarify second, and decide third. Be proactive. Communication changes and expectations before problems arise.
Yeah. Here's a big one, Corey.
Yeah.
Learning how to grow. Too many times we don't know how to grow. We've never been taught that. We've gotten to this point with our own talents. And I have seen really, really good managers, good leaders, and they're really good, but they're missing the great because they don't surround themselves with people. And many of the times, these managers have general managers in their stores that are actually great leaders and have people to learn from. There's so many resources, you know, like this podcast or many communities out there for fixed ops that you can join where people will help you.
Yeah. Can you imagine if we would have had that years ago as managers?
Think about that all the time.
I mean, they got books. Some colleges teach you how to be.
There is.
I mean, NADA does a great job. They have a great curriculum for understanding the numbers and working in fixed ops. I can't tell you enough how those resources are at your fingertips. You can go to YouTube University.
And at the beginning, it is tough and frustrating. It is really hard. It took me so many times to try to learn the math, to try to understand that I had to grow at not only a pace, but a level that I couldn't do it on my own. I had to go out and learn how to learn. And that's very hard to do, especially when you're in that position where all the responsibility falls on you and you feel that it's just you, right? And I'll tell you right now, for the leaders and managers that are growing into this position, you're not alone. We have all been through it. And there's so many people that are more than happy to help.
Absolutely. The other thing that I think is very important is think of other businesses out there that you've gone to. I love comparing McDonald's and Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
If you look at just raw numbers of McDonald's and Chick-fil-A, McDonald's has 3 times more McDonald's in the country than Chick-fil-A does. Chick-fil-A is closed every Sunday.
Yes.
McDonald's isn't. Chick-fil-A grosses more total sales with less stores than McDonald's does.
I did not know that.
Why is that?
I'm going to believe that it's in the training that they place in their team members, in their employees. Because when you go through that drive-through, it's an experience.
Yes. And it's called the process and being consistent. If you can have a written process and be consistent with it, systems beat talent every day. A great process makes average people perform at a higher level. Document your process. Drop-offs, multi-points, estimates, follow-ups, delivery, whatever you got to talk about, have it be part of your process. Audit repair orders. Understand that what the advisors are writing in these repair orders.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've gone to a dealership and done an audit, and the line says CS.
Oh, don't get me going with CS.
CL light on.
Yes.
The cause, O2. RR02 sensor, $1,000. That is not a write-up.
And no MPI attachment to it whatsoever.
No.
Here's the wildest thing. Think about not just the 10 steps or the few step service drive process for advisors. Think about how many total steps an advisor has to perform to be successful in just one experience, Corey. Just one.
Just one.
Okay. They have to book the tickets in some cases. They have to know warranty numbers. They have to present. They have to get commitment times. They have to know the technician where it's supposed to go. They have to know the vehicle, the model, the brand, the manufacturer, recalls. Just, I can go on and on and on. And the upper management, upper leadership, they want to expect a certain level of performance out of their team members, right? Out of the service advisor team.
Yeah.
But they don't train them.
No, no. Your training is, there's your computer, there's your phone, those are your techs. Good luck.
So young managers, young leaders that you're going into the system, you're now going to be accountable for so many different types of metrics. Everything from manufacturer to in-store. If you want your team to win, you have to train them to make sure they know what to do. And if you don't know how to train, which many people get that wrong, if you don't know how to train, you have to learn how to train.
Yeah. And I think some ideas that I would jot down if I'm a new manager is conducting random RO reviews, whether you do it weekly. I would do it weekly for quite a while.
Okay.
And then I would create a process book, but I would learn from my mistakes because I just created one and said, here, we're doing this. Get your team involved. Ask them, because they're the ones that are going to be doing it. And if you ask them and they're a part of it and they come up with the process, not only are they going to do it,
yeah,
they're going to hold each other accountable to it. And having that emotional intelligence to manage people is something that you're going to have to learn too, because you're going to have to understand how to handle conflict with grace.
Yes.
Whether it's technicians, advisors, customers, they all have different pressure points, right? Knowing your people, understanding what motivates them, whether it's money, whether it's time, each team member has their own motivation. Find out what they're driven to. I am money. I'm not afraid to admit it.
Okay.
You tell me there's a dollar I can make, I'm going to go and work it and I'm going to make it, right?
I love it.
Some people, it's an experience, a contest, time off, whatever that is. Understand your people. Lead with empathy, not ego. You're not the best. You were the best service advisor. Just like in school, when you graduated eighth grade, you were the king of middle school, man. You were the king of middle school. Then you went into high school and you were a freshman. You were nothing. You're doing the same thing. You went from being the lead dog service advisor to now you're the manager. You've never done that role.
That's so difficult. That transition is, it's extremely difficult. And the point that many advisors get put into this position and they seen all the, what I call, it's professional flag raising, right? It's being able to say, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And you have an idea of how to fix it. But once you go to put it in play, it doesn't work. And here's, let me give you this point. If I told anyone in any world, hey, the profits, the monies that come from this particular business is a multi-million dollar revenue, would you get professional help to increase your profits?
Yeah. Look at what athletes do. They hire a personal trainer.
Professional help.
Yes.
This is what I'm telling young service managers. The business that you are running, the business that you're responsible for, is a multi-million dollar business. Mm-hmm. You should be seeking professional help in the areas that you need growth in, because all the time that you waste in many of the mistakes and errors that we make cost you more money than actually bringing the help in to develop.
Oh, 100%. And I think as a manager, if you're new to this, the one thing you need to be asking your team is, what do you need from me to be successful?
It's a great question.
What can I do to get you where you want to be here? I'm here to help.
Just today, I received a message and a manager said, I'm looking to forecast for 2026, but they want to have acceptable growth. So his meeting is going to require him not only presenting the forecast, but it being acceptable.
Mm.
I said, okay, and have you asked ownership? Have you asked dealer principal? What is their expectation?
He didn't ask.
No, he hadn't asked. And he goes, well, that's a great question. I said, that's the only question you should be looking at right now. What is the expectation? Whether it's percentage-based or number-based, you need to know, because now you know where that W is, right? You know where the line is. Now, can your talents exceed that growth? And can you meet it? You need to know all the variables that happen. It's funny I'm saying this. All the variables in fixed operations to know how to make sure that that goal is attainable. And too many times, that's the number we miss, right? We go in there hoping, all right, hopefully our dealer principal likes it. No, let's not hope. Let's go in there and let's aim exactly at where we're supposed to be. One of the comments that was made was, I'm going to forecast lower, and then I'm going to beat that number, right?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Here's another thing. There's something I call error percentage rate. When you are forecasting and you forecast for the number, being too high is just as bad as being too low.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you forecast and you way outdo those numbers, you did your math wrong. There was a number that you did not add up that made you. So in my mind, from a dealer principal standpoint, I'm thinking, okay, either this person went low to try to beat every number, or number two, how much more money are they missing?
Mm. So Eric, we're right up against the time, and I want to get to this part because it's been a foundation of the podcast since we started it, is what are your three takeaways? And I'll have you go first. What are your three takeaways from this podcast?
Three takeaways from this podcast is, number one, practice with your teams. That's key. Practice with your teams. Number two is going to be to make sure you understand the numbers. You need to learn the math behind fixed operations. And the last one is you need to learn how to learn.
Amen. So my three is, leadership isn't a title, it's a behavior.
Love it.
Accountability and empathy can coexist. Culture, I'm going to say this again, culture beats strategy when the manager leads by example.
Yes.
EasyCare is a total performance provider working alongside your team to help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Eric, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you. Thank you so much for giving out your knowledge of how to go from being a service advisor to a service manager.
Hey, Corey.
Yeah.
When are we doing this again?
Man, I think we should do it on the 20th.
Let's go. I think this is valuable information for people to learn the difference between management and leadership. And I think we continue to help people. And I think the 20th is a great time.
Let's do it.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with Corey Smith. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.